It's a Tuesday. You know what that means. Dial a Doc here today as we head to the Infection Control Clinic. And she's in charge of Infection Control and Clinical Quality Department as well. Margie Kochmeyer's back with us again. Hey, Margie, good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining me. It's always great to talk to you. Your specialty, of course, at FHN is infection control. What is that, first of all, what does that entail for the hospital and throughout FHN?
They call us infection preventionists, and I coordinate all the activities of infection control for the hospital and the outlying offices that are affiliated with FHN. I serve as consultant, educator, researcher, and I need to be knowledgeable in surveillance, prevention, and infection control practices so that we stay compliant with regulatory standards. I need to keep up with emerging and re-emerging issues, and I'm certified in infection control, and I belong to an international organization with a local chapter that keeps me connected to our surrounding healthcare organizations.
All right, I know that you have your ear to the ground on this issue here now. There's an infectious disease. It's been in the news recently, and apparently it's alarming people. It relates to children. And I've heard it referred to as AFM. Tell us about this. What is going on here?
AFM is acute flaccid myelitis. So I'll start with an explanation of the term. Acute means that it comes on suddenly, such as you would see with a bacterial or a viral infection. Flaccid means limp or weak, and myelitis means inflammation of the spinal cord. So what we have is a sudden illness that causes weakness of the arms and legs and causes inflammation of the spinal cord. It's affected children, and in more than 90% of the cases, it's followed a viral illness.
All right, and that's where we've seen the children have been paralyzed, right?
Yes, immediately. They are unable to get up and walk, and some of them have been left paralyzed.
Tell us about this. Is it in the Midwest? Is it in Illinois? Is this common? What's going on there?
Well, most all states have been involved over the years. In 2018, there was 24 states that reported cases, with Illinois being one of them. Illinois reported 10 cases last year. This is not a new condition. It's been around since 1962. But the attention came to it because we've seen a peak in numbers since 2014.
Is it contagious? Is it expected to spread?
AFM by itself does not spread from person to person, but the virus that causes it can be contagious from person to person or through contact with an infected surface or by a mosquito or a vector, depending on which virus is causing AFM. It's been observed in clusters that seems to occur in outbreaks every 2 years. So while it's been around since 1962, the first increase was in 2014, and then we saw additional spikes in cases in 2016 and 2018.
Tell us the symptoms of AFM.
The symptoms of AFM is a sudden onset of arm or leg weakness, loss of muscle tone, loss of reflexes, facial droop and weakness, difficulty moving the eyes, drooping eyelids, difficulty swallowing or slurred speech. Some people have reported some pain in their arms and legs, but the most severe symptom is respiratory failure that occurs when the muscles used for breathing become weak, and in those cases, a patient has to be ventilated to support breathing.
It's been been compared to polio, I think. Is that a fair comparison?
Yeah, it's a non-polio-like virus, they think, that is causing it. The clinical symptoms of acute flaccid myelitis are consistent with polio, you know, the weakness of the arms and legs. And while children who have tested positive for AFM look like what we saw with polio, all of them have tested negative for it.
It's been likened as well or compared to West Nile virus. Tell us about that comparison.
And maybe because it hits in the late summer, early fall, that's when the increases were seen like we see with West Nile. However, there have been no links to West Nile at this time, but the CDC has continued investigations, and I am trying to keep up on this in real time, and they are finding more compelling links with enterovirus D68 and AFM. Now, the enterovirus, there's 100 different types of viruses, and while they commonly give us those gastrointestinal tract, stomach flu-like symptoms, enterovirus D68 is associated with respiratory diseases, and there has been some connection in patients, but not in all cases of AFM.
We're talking to Margie Kochmeyer, infection control preventionist at FHN, and we're talking about AFM. Are there any treatments for AFM?
You know, there's no specific treatment right now because they can't pinpoint the exact virus. Patients are managed according to symptoms, so pain, medications, managing their fever, nutritional support, intravenous immunoglobulin, which is a blood product used for antibody deficiencies. They're using that to try to build the body's resistance to viruses. But the key to treatment's been early initiation for physical and occupational therapy so that you can restore function to the affected limbs.
And is this deadly? Is there a fatality rate on this?
There has been. Now, there hasn't been good numbers on that. While the CDC hasn't done a lot of reporting on it, they say they're a little behind in their reporting, but there are families that are supporting two children's deaths in it.
What about what can be done to prevent the spread, and is there any vaccine for this to prevent this?
The CDC thinks viruses are playing a role because the illness has followed the viral illness in children who have it. Until a definite cause can be found, there's no specific instruction to prevent it other than reduce any chances of viral illnesses. So we can follow what we know to reduce viral illnesses. Don't touch your eyes, nose, or mouth, after being out in public before you hand sanitize. Keep up on vaccines for preventable illnesses like polio and influenza. While there's no link at this time to West Nile, the CDC message is to avoid any viral illnesses, so use mosquito spray during times of mosquito activity. Kids under 5 with asthma seem to be more at risk of the infection, but the disease can also affect adults with asthma or weakened immune systems. The CDC continues to work closely with experts to figure out what this causes, but currently there are no vaccines to prevent AFM.
And we haven't had any that we're aware of here. We haven't had any local cases, right?
No.
All right, boy, it's just scary. Of course, you know, these bugs can be bad, right? I mean,
Yeah. And keeping up with not just the emerging diseases, but re-emerging, we're seeing more measles and mumps, and so it's a lot of work to keep up on it.
All right. Well, I always, after I talk to you, I always wash my hands like 15 minutes for, you know, at a time now.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, all right, Margie, of course, how can people find out more about AFM or our discussion here today generally?
Well, you can always go to our website, FHN.org. The best source for the up-to-date information is cdc.gov.
All right, Margie, I'm going to go wash my hands now, and we'll talk to you soon again, okay?
Thank you.
All right, Margie Kochmeyer here today. She's an infection control preventionist at FHN here today. That's the FHN Dial-A-Doc program here today. The preceding brought to you this morning by FHN.